Greetings from the Yeshiva Gedola Beis Yisrael. We are happy to extend to you this message of Rosh Hashanah, and we express to you our heartfelt prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should inscribe all of you Lishnas Chayim Shalom Uvracha. Yom HaDin is Rosh Hashanah. Only if he is a Beinoni and hasn't been decided what his fate will be either way, he's given another opportunity, Yom Kippur, to Luyim and Aimdim. They are left hanging until Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is a very serious day. Because who knows who is a Beinoni? Now the question can be asked, why was the first day of Tishrei chosen instead of the first day of Nisan? The Torah states Nisan, Vishen Hu, Lechodshe Hashanah, is the first month of the months of the year. We count our months from Nisan according to the way the Torah speaks, Bachedesh Harishon, Bachedesh Hashlishi, Bachedesh Hashvi. It means counting from this. So why shouldn't the Yom HaDin be on Bachedesh Nisan instead of Bachedesh Tishrei? Now I'm not capable of saying this is the answer. I have a right to guess, and it's as follows. We say on the Rosh Hashanah again and again, Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the birthday of the world. Keman Amrinan. According to whom we say that, the Gemara says, according to the opinion that B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. Although Nisan is so important because it began our history from Yeshua's Messiah, and the history of the Am Yisrael is the history of the world, because the world was created because of Yisrael. That's when we became our nation in that month, to go out. Shalach es ami ve'avduni, and therefore Nisan is the first month in the Torah calendar. However, there's another consideration which we will soon see, that the birthday of the world, when the world was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, let it be. And that was on the first day of Tishrei. Now, what does that have to do with a Yom HaDin? There's a Mishnah. Everybody knows. Ba'asore ma'amoros ho'olam nivro. The world was created with 10 declarations by Hashem. He said, let this be, and let that be, and so on. 10 declarations are found. So the mission asks, why was it necessary to have 10? Alo b'imam or echad yochol lihibodes. The world could have been made with one declaration. A HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said, let everything be, and it should all come into existence immediately. Now listen to the Mishnah's answer, very important answer for us to study. Elo lihipara min horishoyin, in order to take retribution from the Rishoyim, Shemeabdim Eso Olam, they are destroying the world. It was created with 10 Ma'amores. And Litin Sochal Tov Le Tzadikim, to give a greater reward to Tzadikim, Shemekaimim Eso Olam, they uphold the world, it was made of 10 Ma'amores. Now this statement must be understood, and we'll listen to the words of the Rambam on the Perish on Sifta Ovis. The Rambam said that a person's behavior affects the entire universe. Such a yesod, such a chiddush, that we have to think about it all our lives before we can understand. When a person behaves correctly, it can be considered as if he upheld the entire universe. Now we'll soon see from open examples in the Torah that this statement is absolutely justified. When a person misbehaves, Cholila, he has caused a ruination of the entire universe. That's the Rambam's words. At first, it may seem as a muscle that looks like it, chi'ilu, as if he destroyed the universe. But we'll soon see it's not a muscle. Now, the Rambam explains. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to know how valuable a gift this world is to us. If you give a gift to somebody and don't say anything, they may not appreciate. But if you explain to him the various features of the gift, all the benefits it has, and you enumerate this and this and this, so then he comes to understand what a good gift it is. Anoisen maton elachaveiroi. When you give a gift, you shall let him know how good the gift is, in order he should understand it and enjoy it and use it with the most benefit he can get out of it. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the world to us as a gift. Or you might say, to us? I'm only one out of millions of people. Pay attention, as soon as it's not so. He gave the world to us as a gift. And he wants us to appreciate the value of the gift. So he didn't say in one word, let it be. No. He said, let this be, Yehi Oya, Tatshei Ha'orez, Tatshei Ha'orez. 10 different statements. Gradually, the Torah unfolds the greatness of this gift in order to make us appreciate how important the world is. So the Rambam explains that way. So when you study Chumash now as an adult, a little boy learned Chumash, he didn't know anything. Now you learn it again and understand that all the details of Ma'aseh Bereishis are specified, are enumerated, for the purpose of making us understand what a very great and wonderful gift this universe is to us. And by the way, as we mentioned here many times, you want to say there are 10 ma'amores, 10 declarations, there are only 9. So the question is, where is the 10th one? And he more explained the 10th one is not written in the Chumash, or it's Merumas in the Chumash. Bereishis Nami Imanu. Bereishis is also a declaration. But he said Bereishis, where he said some command beforehand, let it be, but it was a declaration that caused the world to start. So Bereishis Nami Imanu. Bereishis is also a Imanu. Now the question arises, why isn't it stated openly? By Yom Elikim Bereishis, or Yom Elikim Yehi Bereishis. Why doesn't have the first Vayoma, which is the most important Vayoma in the whole Torah? The world should come out of nothing, Yesh Me'ayim. All the other Mamorim, he made Yesh Me'yesh, something from something. When the animals came out of the earth, when the trees came out of the earth, all the chemicals that compose the bodies of animals are chemicals that are found in the soil and the atmosphere. It's not Yesh Me'ayin. Well, the very first command was a command to make something out of nothing. That's the most important, and the most important one is missing from the Torah. And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the second one to seem the most important one. That's why he left out the first one. Because the second one is Yehi Oya, let there be light. And light is actually the most necessary, the most urgent of all the things Hashem made in the world. Why? Because light is sight. Seeing consists of light. The ability to see is only because light travels towards your eye. And therefore, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehi Oya, let there be light. I mean, let there be seeing in the world. What are the use of a world if mankind won't see it? I'm making a world for them to see, to study, to appreciate, and they didn't have the ability to see, what good is the world? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the first mimer, which is really the most important mimer, Yesh Me'ayin, and he didn't write it in the Torah, in order that the second one, the ability to see, should be the first one. Let us know how important that is for us to look at the world. Now these 10 ma'amores, according to the Ramban, were said in order to impress us with the great importance of this world. Not simple at all. The world is tremendously complicated. The world is a gift that has not only 100 features. Let's say somebody buys you a watch, and the watch has 100 features. Most expensive watch. But the world is a gift with trillions of features, and all of them are for our benefit. Now we won't see all the trillions, but as much as possible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to see and to appreciate. And that's why he made 10 ma'amores instead of one, in order to impress us with the urgency of understanding what a great gift this world is. Now, when you look at that Maamar in the Mishnah again, it said the Rishoyim are me'avdim esar, they destroy the world. Now, here's a man, not doing any harm to the world. He's just a Rosha. Doesn't fulfill his obligations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe to his fellow man either. But how is he destroying the world? Maybe destroying a person near him. Maybe destroying his family. But how is he destroying the world if he's a Russian? So the Rambam said that every person is expected to utilize the world, the entire world. And when a man comes into this world and he behaves according to the will of Hashem, that man is justifying the existence of the universe. Everything has a purpose. The sun shines because of him. There's a moon because of him. Winds blow because of him. Rains fall because of him. The earth rotates because of him. Everything operates because he needs it. We need everything in the universe to keep us going. And a person who misuses all these things is considered as if he destroyed them. Because if you make all preparation for somebody, let's say you prepared a big party for a friend of yours, and you brought in a caterer, and you hired chairs, and you made every arrangement, and your friend came in, let's say, very late, and the guest was sitting for hours and waiting for him, he spoiled the whole thing. He said, well, I didn't spoil anything. I didn't break up the plates. I didn't throw the food into the garbage can. I just came late. No, you came late. It's for you we made this party. The whole universe is made for you. And therefore, if you misbehave, is considered as if you destroy the universe. And that's a tremendous concept, but we have to know the Rambam is not a darshan who just says things like that. It's actually the Mishnah is telling us that. When a person misbehaves, it's considered as destroying the entire universe. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is so serious. It's a day when we're called to account to see, how did you treat this universe that I gave you? Hayom haras olam, today is the birthday of the world. Remind yourself. Did you understand that great principle? And did you make use of it? Now, the Tzaddikim, when they study the Chumash and they see how important the world is, they exert themselves more to utilize the world. Such a world of wonders and miracles of nature, plan and purpose, tremendous wisdom and kindliness, wherever you turn. You see, Hashem's system of showering benefits on mankind. Everything he does is in order to benefit the world and benefit mankind. And therefore the person who understands that and he tries to live up to what's expected of him, that man is considered that he's justifying the sun, he's justifying the winds, he's justifying the soil, he's justifying the rotation of the earth, he's justifying all the phenomena of this world by his behavior. Now, I understand this is very remote in our minds as of yet. We're going to see soon open example in the Torah which emphasizes the very great urgency of understanding this principle. But before I go on, if we don't understand it yet, let's at least hear what the Mishnah is saying. And the Mishnah is telling us, for this purpose, Hashem made multiple declarations instead of merely one declaration, in order to impress upon us, you should know you are responsible for this wondrous universe. I'm going to hold you responsible. You come into this world, don't think it's a hefker world, that what you do has no connection. You know, the entire universe is waiting that you should utilize it properly. And if you don't, it's considered in my eyes as if you wasted my universe. Now, the question arises, how could you say that? After all, the world is made from millions and millions of people. Who am I? Just one person. The Mishnah is on earth and asks the question. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created trees, he didn't create one tree, and from that all the trees developed. No. Tatshei Ha'aretz, trees began growing all over the world with that one command. Millions of trees. Suddenly. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make animals, he didn't make one pair that they should increase and multiply. No, he didn't wait. He was in a hurry. And he said immediately, the world should be covered with animals. And immediately, the entire world was full of animals. Now, if that's surprising to you, that's the only explanation. I must tell you, the scientists have been looking at other explanations, and they have failed miserably. Only explanation is the world was created by a command of Hashem. There's no way of explaining anything otherwise. I'd like to take time to explain that to you, but the truth is, it's already so demonstrated, they're afraid to say it openly. But underneath, in their conscience, they recognize how false are all their explanations. There's only one explanation. Bereishis Bara Elokim. One explanation. Now, the question arises then, why did Hashem make only one man? Only one man and one woman? Why did he make an exception? Are men unimportant? They're the most important of all the creatures in the world. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want men to remain only lonesome people? A few? No. He said, Pru Urvu, be fruitful and multiply. Umilu Es Ha'aretz, fill the world. He wanted to fill the world. So it's a big kasha. It's a question. Why do you make only one pair? That's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah gives a reason for it. We have to listen carefully. As a Yesod HaTorah, one of the fundamentals of Torah is stated by the Mishnah. Kedei sheyemar kol echot ve'echol bishvili nivro ho'oilom. In order that each person should say, the world is made for me. Not for me, but I should be the owner of the world, the ruler of the world. No, that's not for you. It's made for you. You're responsible for the world. Now, the Mishnah said that, and it explains a fundamental question. After all, it is a big kasha, why Hashem made only one man. And this is the answer. That one man is in the world all by himself now. Adam looks around. All this, these wondrous things, the miracles of creation, wherever he looks, everything is miraculous, plan and purpose. It's so complicated. and all for kindly intentions. What's all this? For whom? Only for me. And only one here. And he didn't know who's going to come after him. There's one man standing alone in the world. See, the sun is for me. The moon is for me. Stars are for me. That's the only way to look at the world. And that's how he should always continue to think forever and ever. And even now that the world is populated by millions, each person must continue to think that he is responsible for the entire world. Now, when we talk about utilizing the world, foremost in our mind should be the purpose of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his creations. That's the first of all the intentions when you say to make use of the world. Yuduhu Hashem kol ma'asecho. Hashem, all of your works praise you. It means all that you made in this world is for the intention of praising you. Kved malchuscho yomeru, they speak of the glory of your kingdom. Ugvurascho yedaberu. Now, what's the purpose of all these things? Come to the next pasuk. Very important to study that pasuk. Lehodia livnei ha'adam gvurasa. It's for the purpose of making known to men his mighty deeds. Uchavoyin ha'adar malchusei, the glory of his majesty as a king. So one of the first elements in using the world is to recognize Hashem Melech. Lo yiseh oyerim yedoyim, he is the one who made the luminaries. Lo yiseh Hashemayim yismuno, he is the one who made space with all the millions of heavenly bodies. Wherever you look, one of the foremost of the ideas we have to train ourselves is to look at them and recognize that they are the handiwork of the great craftsman, the great designer, the master engineer who planned everything. And all the millions of details were foreordained to function only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to recognize from them Hashem Melech. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is so important. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech Leilam Ved. All day long, that's our job. And that's the most important of the Yom HaDin. People think it's just pious, just forms of poetry, you say that. But the most important thing you think of tshuva, tshuva is a very good thing, by the way. But the most important tshuva is, are you thinking Hashem Melech? That's the yesod, how you say this, as the foundation of everything in the world. And if a person fails to live in that, then there won't be any benefit waiting for Yom Kippur. So we labor on Rosh Hashanah again and again Again and again, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimlech, again and again. By saying it many times, maybe a little bit will enter our minds. Now, after a person has successfully utilized Rosh Hashanah to gain the feeling that Hashem is a Melech, now there remains some stains, some spots on his neshama which he has to remove yet, some sins. After all, he committed some misdeeds. So then Yom Kippur comes to take off the spots. But if he didn't succeed in the most important function, then Yom Kippur is a failure for him. It's like taking spots off a mess. A dead body has spots. What good is it? So first you have to be a chai, and you have to shout with all your heart that Hashem is a melech, and get it into your head. Maybe you'll listen a little bit to what your mouth is shouting. A melech means he's in full control. The word melech, by the way, means the one who has wisdom. Milko in Aramis means Eitzer, counsel, wisdom. You say Nimloch. Nimloch means to take counsel. Melech means not merely the one who has power. Hashem's wisdom is what created and controls the world. Wherever you see Hashem bechochmo yisad ares, he founded the world with wisdom. It's remarkable how people are blind to this big principle. When you walk in the street and you see a yellow dandelion in the green grass, it's a tremendous apparition, a phenomenon. Where does the yellow color come from? How does yellow come among the green grass? There's a machinery in that little plant that can take the chemicals of the earth and make it into a yellow pigment, a bright color that attracts the eye, attracts insects also. And the insects now come and pollinate that little plant. Then it turns into a gray mass of parachutes, seed parachutes. Then the wind comes and blows the seed parachutes, and the 60 seed parachutes get loose from that seed pad and float in the air. Miracles are miracles. All these miracles are for us to study. Now when we recognize the hand of Hashem in everything on all sides of us, then we are utilizing the world. We are mekayim the world. You pick a piece of bread up at breakfast. Bread, where does bread come from? Let me see you bend over and chew a piece of soil. You can chew soil all your life and never have enough to eat from it. All you can get is ascaris and tapeworms. Actually, it doesn't come from the soil alone. Most of it comes from the air. Carbon dioxide from the air creates the stars from the bread. And so it's all miracles. Nobody yet has invented a method of creating starch out of carbon dioxide. You become a multimillionaire immediately. They made a patent for that. Food still comes only from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. No matter what today's progress is, it's still HaMoisei Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Apples have to grow on apple trees. Nobody can create a strawberry. And still, our Kodesh Baruch Hu has put these things in the world for us to recognize Hashem Melech. He's the one who's in charge with his wisdom. Milke means my wisdom. Or Milke was the name of a woman. Milke means not Malke. Malke is something else. Milke means she has wisdom. Now let's understand a little more this idea that we are responsible for the world. After all, we're not accustomed to thinking that way at all. We're very happy if we would fulfill our responsibilities at least to ourselves or to our immediate environment. And all of a sudden we're hearing from a chayav to worry about the entire world. The Gemara says, Lo'ilom al yatil odom eimo yisayro besol besor. A man should never make too much fear of him in his house. He should have respect. Yes, he deserves respect in his house. But he shouldn't be a tyrant. He shouldn't cast too much fear of himself on his family. Lo'ilom al yatil odom eimo yaseh abzor besa. Don't put too much fear upon your wife and your children of yours. Shaharei bepilegesh begibo he till aimo yaseh abzor besa. There was a case where a man was a tyrant. Behipil kamer vaves me Yisrael. He caused tens of thousands of Jews to be killed in battle because of him. Now, what's the story there? The story was, it was a Levi. You know, Levi are hot-tempered people. Levi was an angry fellow. That's why Hashem said, Oru Apom. The father said, Oru Apom. Shimei Levi. Levi is angry people. Kohanim Kabdonim, and Kohanim are also angry. Different Levi. Now this Levi had a pilegish. In those days, some people allowed themselves to have a pilegish. Pilegish was something like a wife. Only, he didn't have the same obligations towards her like a wife. And one day she made for him a soup. And in the soup he found, some say a fly. A dead fly in the soup. Some say he found a hair in the soup. Some achlikas. A hair or a fly. This man became enraged. He went over the handle. He was shouting. She was afraid of him. So she ran out in the street. It was nighttime. It was in the town of Giba, where they were visiting. But late at night, she was all alone, and some Jewish bums found her in the street. Always there's some bums, low characters, degenerates, orphans, mentally depressed people, were wandering the street at night. They found her, and they misused this woman, and she finally died. And she was found dead in the morning when the lady came out in the morning, opened the door. The dead Pelegish was lying on the doorsteps. What a scandal this is. In this town, a woman went out at night and is killed? I'm not going to keep quiet. Now, he was a hot-tempered fellow. Just like he was hot-tempered against his wife, he became very hot-tempered against the people of Giva. What did he do? He took a knife and he cut his dead wife into 12 pieces. And he sent messengers with each piece to the Sanhedrin of every one of the 12 Shvatim. Imagine, Sanhedrin is sitting in a Sheva, and the messenger arrives with a package for them. Open up the package, and they are thunderstruck. What's this? And they all became so excited at the terrible scandal that was done in Giba against a defenseless woman, that they immediately organized an army and went to a war against Geba, against Binyamin. Now Binyamin, where Geba was situated, said, let us handle this. And all the Shvatim said, nothing doing. We're going to be easy on them because they're from Yosheva. We want to destroy that town and make a lesson of them. I'll be then, you can do that. If necessary to make a lesson, you can destroy the entire town. And there was a war, and many tens of thousands of people were killed in that war. Now, in this case, the hot-tempered Levi did two things. First, he caused the death of his Pelegish by driving out in the street late at night. And secondly, by sending to all the Shvatim parts of a dead body, he aroused the nation into such a fever heat of anger that it caused them to go to war. So the Gemara says you should never cause too much fear in your family, because that's what happened then. So the Mefarshim asks, how can you compare this to an ordinary tyrant? Here's a man, let's say, in Borough Park, and he's a tyrant to his wife. The wife calls me up, my husband's always insulting me. I said, bring him to me. He won't go to any rabbi. He laughs at all rabbis. A chassid, by the way, not Jew. He laughs at all rabbis. Does he have a rabbi? Sometimes he goes to a shtibel where there's nobody present. That's a minyan. Belongs to a certain rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rebbe should personally tell him what to do. He'll never listen. So here's a tyrant, a Rosh Gomor, won't listen to anybody. Alright, he's a chayte. But is he killing tens of thousands of Jews? How can you compare it to that story? It just happened there that a man killed tens of thousands of Jews by his bad temper. This man's not killing anybody except his wife. The answer is as follows. If a man is has a fiery temper, then the only reason he's not killing tens of thousands of Jews is he doesn't have the opportunity. If the opportunity of the Pelagius Megibah would have presented itself, he'd do the same thing. So the possibility that this person, if he had the opportunity, could cause tens of thousands of people to die, even though it didn't happen, but he is to blame because it's not his chus that he doesn't have the possibility. He wasn't able to do it. And so our Kodesh Baruch Hu said anybody that tyrant in his house is considered as if he killed tens of thousands of people. So man is judged not only by what he actually did, but what he would have done had he had power to do it. Suppose this fellow would have been a king. And a hot-tempered fellow that doesn't listen to anybody. What would he do? Who knows how many cities he would destroy, how many people he would murder. But this man has no power to do it. So therefore he doesn't get credits for not doing it, and he's held responsible. So we learn from this that if a man behaves in such a way that could be a great ruination for the world, if he had the power to utilize his bad midas on the world, then even he has no power to do it, he's held responsible right now. That's an important principle. And therefore, when a person looks at the universe, let's say Chalila, like the atheists looked at the universe. Atheists are robbing Hashem of the universe. Hashem has given the universe for the purpose that people should recognize Him. And all the colleges and all the newspapers and all the media all saying evolution had an accident, so they're robbing Hashem of the Bria. They take away all the universe from Hashem. That's the biggest crime, to rob Hashem. They're driving Hashem out of the world. And therefore, they are held responsible for destroying the world. They are the arch criminals. The world is made for the purpose of saying Hashem Elah. And when people deny that, Chas v'Shalom, they should know they're going to have to pay retribution for that tremendous crime of taking away the world from Hashem. Rimur Yasek Hashem. In Brochus, Rimur Yasek Hashem, it says, Hashemayim Shemayim L'Hashem, V'Ores Nosan L'Vnei Odom. He gave the world to men. But there's another pasuk, L'Hashem Ores Umleya. The world belongs to Hashem. A contradiction. The boy answers, Kan koidem baruchah, before the baruchah belongs to Hashem. But after the baruchah, it belongs to us. And we have to listen to that, because that's a fundamental approach to everything. We have no business eating in this world. We have no business drinking in this world. We have no business even breathing the air. We can't even look with our eyes. Only with one condition. If we thank Hashem that there's something to eat, we thank Hashem that there's something to drink. Now, before we proceed, we must study one of the Darkei Hashem that we see in the Torah. For some people, it may seem a novelty, a bit chiddish. It's worth studying right now. At the beginning of Matan Torah on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Onuchi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hu Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Which means, Yetzias Mitzrayim is a foundation of Torah. But the utmost importance to understand that our stay in the land of Mitzrayim was a preparation for Matan Torah. All the things that our nation suffered in Mitzrayim were for the purpose of preparing them for Maamad Har Sinai. All the Makas in Mitzrayim were for the purpose of teaching the man Yeda Ke'en Komeini Bechol Horez, to teach mankind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King of the world. Yetzias Mitzrayim was fundamental. Without Yetzias Mitzrayim, it wouldn't have been the Torah. But how did Messias Mitzrayim come into being? How did it happen that we are in Messiah? It happened because Yosef and his brothers were at odds with each other. His brothers were jealous of him, and they wanted to sell him as an eved, and he came down to Messiah, and then his father came after, Yankov came into Messiah, and Bnei Israel came to Messiah. Actually, they should have gone to Messiah without the whole story of Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned there must be a Messiah in order that there should be a Matan Torah, which is based on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Und man tiskeres um Seisrim Eretz Yisrael vor dem Echayecha. The gratitude for going out of Messiah caused them to be so grateful to Hashem that they loved him with their fiery love. And they were mekabel their Torah much more readily when he came out of Messiah. The Cheirus Olam, and also loaded down with all the wealth of Messiah. And so when he came to Har Sinai, they were willing to demonstrate the love to Hashem. So our Kodesh Baruch was the cause of him to go down to Messiah in another fashion. But why did he make it by means of Yosef and the brothers? He wanted to teach us a lesson. For instance, one of the lessons was, Lo'ilom, a man should never make one son more privileged than the other son. If you give one son more benefits than the other sons, it causes a certain hostility toward that son. You see what happened to Yosef? Because of a little bit of wool, Hashem, that Yankel Avinu gave his son Yosef a tunic of many colors, and the brothers were envious of him. And therefore the brothers sold him to Mitzrayim. They decided to get rid of him. And that's how we went to Mitzrayim. So we went down to Mitzrayim in Egypt in slavery because of that little bit of gift that Yaakov gave to his sons. That's one of the lessons we learned. Don't show a special partiality towards one of your sons. Now the truth is that they had to go to Messiah. Without Messiah, there wouldn't have been any Kabbalah Sator. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilized this going down to Messiah in order to teach us a lesson. For instance, Al-Kamsa or Bar-Kamsa Chorv Yerushalayim. Everybody knows Yerushalayim was destroyed because the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. I won't repeat it now, everybody knows the story. Was that the reason? That wasn't the reason. The Nevi'im had said beforehand what's going to happen. All the Tanoim knew beforehand what was going to happen. Yehem and Zakkai, 40 years earlier, had said when he saw the gates of the Hechel open over themselves, he said, we know that they're going to be destroyed by the Gentiles. So how can you say Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa Bar Kamsa? Answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already planned to destroy the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Only made it turn out by means of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, we should learn a lesson. Be careful. Don't be so reckless with the carelessness. He's always careful, and because they weren't careful, they brought trouble on themselves. And so Kamsa went and he told the Romans that the Jews are in revolt against them, and that's caused the Romans to become angry at the Jews. But the truth is that long before this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already decreed that Jerusalem should be destroyed anyhow. Only we utilizing this that has been predestined beforehand in order to teach some lessons. And now we go back to the beginning of the Torah to learn one of the most important lessons in the entire Torah. At the beginning of the Torah it stated that Adam was warned if he would eat of the Eis HaDaas, it would cause death upon the world. You'll die. Which means, had he not eaten of the Eis HaDaas, there wouldn't have been any death. What does that mean? Does that mean that because the age of the Esa Das, death came upon the world, otherwise it would live forever? It's impossible that men should live forever in this world. Because if men would live forever, you know what would happen? There wouldn't be enough earth in which to plant grain and vegetables. Because all the people that we've been living in the world would be using up all the chemicals of the earth to maintain themselves in existence. It's only because of death, offer atah, but offer tosher. And for the bodies go back into the earth is able, the soil is able to continue in the quantity necessary to maintain life. If the soil became human beings, and human beings always lived, wouldn't be any soil left. Wouldn't be any soil left. Now, they were expelled from Gan Eden because of that. But actually, they were not supposed to remain in Gan Eden. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the beginning, "Kruvu umilu esaretz," fill the world. They were supposed to scatter and fill the world. Shouldn't remain in Gan Eden. So the plan, the chatchila, was that Adam was created to die. He had to eat. He wouldn't eat, he would die. He was created to go out of the Gan Eden eventually, because you couldn't have millions of people in Gan Eden. There's a place on this earth called Gan Eden. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause it to happen in such a way? That because of Adam's sin, death came upon the world, and he was expelled from Gan Eden in order to teach this lesson, that a sin that one person commits is a destruction upon all mankind. That's the lesson of that first story. When Adam ate of the Eitz HaDaas, it was a sin. He didn't kill anybody. He just ate of the Eitz HaDaas. But when a person transgresses the word of Hashem, it's a ruination, not only for him, it's a ruination for the world. Misa came down on the world. And therefore the entire story had been planned beforehand by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to impress upon us how vast, how enormous are the results of a sin one time committed by one man. And since it happened, all mankind look back whenever there's death. I said, look what Adam HaRishon did to us. Since then, everyone who died, only because of the sin of Adam HaRishon. One man committed the sins for one moment, and he brought death upon the world forever and ever. After Tchias Amesim. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to understand the vastness of man's responsibility. And now, with this understanding in mind, when we speak about the function of utilizing Hashem's world, which is memorialized by this occasion of Rosh Hashanah, The question is, did you make use of the world to recognize me, said Hashem? You made use of the world to thank me for everything? Did you thank me for the sun? Did you thank me for light? Did you thank me for your food? Did you thank me for your clothing? Did you thank for your shoes? Did you thank for your eyesight? All these things, by the way, are baruch, as we say every day. But the question is, what are we thinking when we're saying that? And therefore, the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, HaYom HaRas Olam, is the birthday of the world. And Hashem is saying, now I'm making a din v'chashbon. What use have you made of the world? Now, according to this, every act of a person is of universal significance. There's no small things in a person's life. If a person mistreats his wife and she leaves him and there's a divorce, Chalila, that divorce, of course, is a ruination of the family. It ruins their lives. But he is held to blame. She is also held to blame for destroying the world. They have taken the universe and smashed it by this behavior of theirs. When a woman has wisdom and she builds her home, Chochmas Noshin Bonsa Besa, a wise woman builds her home. She's not building only her home, she's building a universe. Building Kol Ha'olam Kulei. For the utmost importance, of course, sometimes a woman kills her husband too. Many women have killed their husbands by mistreating them, making so much solace for them, that finally he died young. Men have killed their wives. But when people ruin their homes without killing anybody else, it's considered by our Kodesh Baruch Hu as if they destroy the entire universe. I have given you this little world of yours as an example, a sample of the universe. Let me see how you succeed, at least in your home. And the way you succeed in your house, husband and wife, in holding together the house, and they may carry and not may abet that little world, that's how you'll be judged concerning the entire universe. Of course, even having a child, a woman has a child, as another child, and another child. Like the Rambam says, Kolam Moisif Nefesh Achas Me Yisrael Kilo Kiyem Ne Moisif Olam Olam. One more baby is like a whole world. Another world. That's Lashon HaRambam, not merely emotion. If a woman has another baby, she's creating a new world. And even though she's not a Torah scholar, even though she's not preaching to the masses, she's not spreading jihadists in the world, in her little world, however, she is succeeding in building up that world. She is building persons, Jews, over the Hashem, like Chava said when she gave birth to a child, Konisi Ish Es Hashem. I have acquired a man for Hashem. It's building a world. Tremendous achievement when people maintain the little world of their lives. In your own home, if you're successful, that's your world. And you give him credit as if you upheld the entire world. The mother said, Heim tluyim bo, your wife and your children depend on you. Ve'ata tolui b'mi she'omar v'hoyeret, and you depend on the one who commanded that the world should come into existence. What's the comparison? They depend on you, and you depend on me, who brought the world into existence. It means this: just like I, Hashem, am my creator of the universe, you and your little world are creator of your little universe. If in your home you go to work, you earn money to support your wife and your children, and you treat them with a certain amount of respect, with chesed, with kindness, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're emulating me. My treatment of the world, Hashem, the Chochma Yisad Oretz, Chesed Hashem Molo Ha'oretz, He made the world with wisdom and with kindness. And so the father who raises his family, treats his wife with kindness and with wisdom, is considered as being a prototype of our Kodesh Baruch. So now we begin to see that our attitude towards the entire B'riyah, entire creation, is measured by our behavior in our own little limited sphere. If among ourselves we behave, we treat people according to where Hashem wants us to treat all mankind, then it's considered kilu kiyam olam mole, as if he upheld the entire world. All this, we have to understand, is very remote in our minds. We have to accustom ourselves to Das Torah, which says, L'fikoch nivro Adam yechidi. That's why Adam was made all alone, in order he should study this principle. He should say, Bishvili nivro ha'olam. If a man is a failure in his house, it's like he failed with the entire world. Now, there are many areas in which this great principle can be applied. We'll have time for one more, and that's the area of building himself. A man has a world in himself. When a person puts Torah into his mind, he should know he is creating the world. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the world with wisdom, this man is filling himself. All the Mefarshim explain that Adam is an Olam Katan. A man is a microcosm, is a small example of the universe. Just like the universe is crammed with wisdom, a man's function is to fill his mind with wisdom of the Torah. When a man makes himself more perfect, he becomes a similitude, a likeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is perfect. When a man is a kindly personality, he has all the good midas, he resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Hanun Verachum Erech Apayim Verav Chesed, all kindly characteristics. V'holachto b'drocho, you walk in the ways of Hashem, Mahu, just like he is Hanun Atacham. And when a person perfects himself, he trains himself, he puts Torah into his mind, he puts good midas into his character, when a person looks at the world with understanding and wisdom, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world and understands it, that person becomes a Tzelem Elokim. That's the actual purpose of this phrase. He's a resemblance, like a tzel, like a shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayah. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the acme, the summit of all perfection, so a person who makes himself perfect as much as he can becomes to a certain extent a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a small scale. And that's what's expected of us. Now here's Rosh Hashanah and the Yom HaDin. Certainly, if there are certain things that we have to repair in our daily behavior, in things that we once did, certainly we can think about them. But the most important function of this day is to recognize the Borei. We think of him as the Melech. Are we grateful to him for everything that we see in the world? Are we thanking him? Torah lehodesh, the good of the person. The best good in the world is to thank Hashem. Lehagid ba'amorkech has dechol emunos chobaleves to start in the morning and all day long and finish at night. We have to thank Hashem for this world. Otherwise, we're using a world that doesn't belong to us. We have no right in this world. Are you building your own little world? Your home? Are you perfect? Are you supporting your wife? Are you treating your wife right? Are you treating your husband right? Are you having children and raising them up in the HaTorah? For I'm a kayim nefeshach as me Yisrael, kivukim elamolai. It's a world. And then in addition to that, are you building your own personal world? Are you making something out of yourself? Are you becoming a repository of Torah? Chochmas Hashem? Are you putting the thoughts of Hashem into your head and thinking like Hashem thinks? Do you love Amor Yisrael? Like Hashem is, he loves his people, Yisrael. Or do you labor to acquire love for your fellows? While Yisrael should be beloved by us, like Hashem loves them? Are you training yourself in good character? Your midas? All these things are required of us, especially to think about them on Rosh Hashanah. And then the world of ourselves, we should know, after all, is the most important of all worlds. To make yourself is like making a universe. When a person learns Torah, gains emunah, yirashamayim, midas toivas, that person is mamish building a world. Not a mamish, is building a world. And so Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Very serious opportunity to survey our lives and think, are we accomplishing? Now if we succeed, we have passed successfully the test of Rosh Hashanah. Now we're ready for the final touches to remove the little stains, a chet here and a chet there, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur makes a perfect completion of our personality. But a person, a tzaddik, also has sins. Even the person who utilizes the world to make something out of himself also has a spot or a stain on his neshama. So Yom Kippur has the opportunity to remove the spots. This chet and that chet, this chet and that chet. Of course, in case a person didn't utilize Rosh Hashanah for Hashem Melech, he should also continue on Yom Kippur. Another opportunity. But the main purpose of Rosh Hashanah is Hayom HaLasolom, the birthday of this world. And said, Din V'Cheshbon, how we use the world. Then if we use the world properly, and Yom Kippur comes along and used properly, then we have the Gonder year with the very best manner for the success of our lives.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.